overthrow the Nazis and set up a provisional independent Polish government because they didn't want to be, you know, taken over by the Soviets.
Okay.
The communists. This is Benjamin Fulford speaking with Robert David Steele. We're in Inokashira Park in Tokyo on February 20th, 2018. Now, Mr. Steele.
Robert, please.
Robert. You know, we've both been subject to hit jobs and smear tactics. And when I looked at your Wikipedia, it said that you had said that there were child sex slaves on Mars. And I hear that this is just a big fake attempt to discredit you. Could you tell us what was behind that and who did it and why?
Well, I have a federal lawsuit out, which I expect to win. I have an extraordinarily good defamation lawyer. And so I'm not going to argue the details in public. But I will say that I was doing a two-hour video with Alex Jones on pedophilia. I'm a commissioner as well as the chief counsel on a judicial inquiry into pedophilia. And I believe that my 2 hours of remarks scared the living hell out of a particular murderous pedophile in the media business. And he commissioned a hit job by a guy in the Daily Beast. It will have to come out in a federal lawsuit. I did not say that there were child sex slaves on Mars. In answer to a question at the very end of the program, I said that we use children for long-range space missions 20 years and out. That was 20 years ago. And that we had a base on Mars that was established 15 years ago and has 10,000 people on it. That's a fact, according to a retired NSA PhD that told me and someone else that fact. Media hit jobs are only a small part of the defamation that you and I have suffered, Ben. I have written a very well-read article. It had 2,500 referrals to Reddit in one day, and it's at tinyurl.com/googlegestapo. And it outlines the different ways in which the deep state, and particularly the Zionist supporting foundation for the deep state, which has the Anti-Defamation League as its primary secret police, they censor, manipulate, and digitally assassinate people.
Yeah.
And the reason they do this is because those people are getting close to the truth.
Yeah.
But let me say that I no longer pay attention to Wikipedia because they have no integrity at all. It's a great source of pride to me that most people with intelligence see that my personal page, robertdavidsteele.com, is above the Wikipedia page. The world has figured out that the Wikipedia article is crap.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I was, you know, Asia-Pacific bureau chief for Forbes magazine. And then I started writing about things like 911. And suddenly, I was blacklisted from all corporate jobs. There were incredible efforts to bankrupt me, and somebody, a group of people went around to everybody I'd ever known professionally at Forbes and tell them that I was taking drugs and I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And just at this time, when I was, you know, being hit financially, suddenly I got offered these lucrative jobs to speak at UFO conferences. And it was clear there was a concerted campaign to ruin my reputation, to say he's taking drugs, he's gone crazy. They even, at the time that they were trying to bankrupt me, they also tried to lure me into an actual drug deal with 70 kilos of PCP-laced marijuana. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the stuff they've been doing. All I can say is that at the end of the day, I'm going to be suing the Simon Wiesenthal Center. I'm going to be suing Michael Green from the CSIS. A lot of people are not just going to be sued. They're going to go to jail for this.
Well, let me tell you something. I'd like to introduce you to my lawyer, who's one of the best defamation lawyers in the country. And he's taught me a lot. And one of the things he's taught me, Ben, is that if you can show conspiracy, which is if you can show that certain select people egged other people on, guided them, funded them, whatever, conspiracy is triple damages. Now, I don't know what kind of statute of limitations you might be running up against, but please, let me introduce you to my lawyer.
Yes.
And let him win cases for both of us.
Yeah, it's time. You know, these people have done enough with their lies,
take
with
them
their
to
slander.
Court. Don't talk about them in public. Take them to court.
Sue them. Okay. Well, we're going to do that. I think I've been too much of a nice guy for too long.
Now is the time.
Now, the other thing is, we're here also to discuss, again, the the deep state, that people are calling it, or other people call it the Illuminati, you know, the cabal. There's many different labels for this. But what do you think we're dealing with?
Well, Ben, you've taught me already things I didn't know. So I'd like you to finish this off. But I've learned most of what I know about the deep state and the shadow government since I left CIA. Most of the people at CIA are good people trapped in a bad system. I distinguish between the deep state, which is the Vatican, the Rothschilds, and the Chabad Jews. And you will talk about what's above them. And then they use the Freemasons and the Knights of Malta as fixers, and they use the City of London, Wall Street, central banks as managers. That's the deep state. Below the deep state is the shadow government, which is comprised of the politicians and senior bureaucrats, many of the murderous pedophiles that have been brought into the pedophilia system as a control blackmail element. Those are the shadow government people. But they're not the deep state. They're the best of the servant class.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I have seen with Japanese politicians up close, I've met every Japanese prime minister personally since the 1980s, that if you don't have something they can blackmail with you, they won't let you rise to the top. They need people who are servants. Okay, these people are actors. They read scripts. They're not in power, okay? Shinzo Abe does not run Japan. I'm sorry to say that. Most of the so-called world leaders you see at these UN conferences, they are slaves, okay? They've been, once they're elected as prime minister or whatever, someone comes to them and gives them a bank book from the Vatican Bank with, say,
right,
$100 million or $1 billion, depending how big the country is, and say, okay, welcome to the world's rich club. Here's the money. You can use it to have a good retirement. But if you do not do what we tell you, we're going to kill you.
What I have found in the United States is that the Mossad perfected the art of blackmailing people. They've also perfected the art of industrial electronic espionage. Everybody snoops, but the Israelis actually are running the electronic systems for the U.S. government. But what I have found in the United States is that all of our politicians are groomed. With the exception of Donald Trump, you don't get to be president unless you're bought and paid for. Now, I've also learned that CIA, FBI, and NSA have been spying on and blackmailing all of our politicians. So the one element of the deep state I didn't mention before was the secret intelligence community. Those are the people who are smuggling guns, gold, drugs, cash, and small children as part of the totality of the deep state shadow government enterprise.
Yeah, but I agree with you, and the forensic trail that I follow, remember, I'm a journalist, which means if it appears in writing or in a video, it means somebody has beaten you to the story. So I try to get stuff first, and I go direct to the source. So I went direct to David Rockefeller. I talked to the Rothschilds, and they pointed me to the P2 Freemason Lodge, to the people in Switzerland and Italy who are the secret brokers behind this, and I actually went to Italy where they tried to kill me, one of the at least five major assassination attempts I've survived. And they told me they worshipped the Black Sun and that they wanted to create a world fascist government controlled by descendants of the Caesars. So even the Jews, the high-level Jews, people like Benjamin Netanyahu, are slaves to these, what should I call them, satanic tyrants.
Well, call them Caesar's descendants, which is what you told me when we had our private conversation. It's funny that you say that, because on a plane on the way over, I read a book called Caesar's Messiah. And it's an absolutely extraordinary juxtaposition of the Wars of the Jews by Titus and his descendants, and the New Testament. And it makes the case that the Bible and Christianity, the Catholic Church, were actually created as the first major psychological operation by Caesar and his descendants to basically tell people to turn the other cheek and render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah, I've also studied this history in great depth. And what I came to ultimately was a group called the Hyksos. These were these groups of animal herders in the Middle East who, because they ate protein and they rode horses, they were big and they were strong, and they knew how to herd grass-eating animals. So when they captured the agricultural peoples, they used the same technologies to herd them as they were using to herd sheep. They would they're you know, I went to this top church in Italy that they use. It's the Pope's private church, and it's full of pictures of weapons and two keys. But basically, what they've learned is that you can control people as sheep if you control their information, which is one thing, and the other is to control their food supply, and a third one is you control the means of violence to, you know, kill or discipline anybody who tries to disobey. And they've been using that to hurt us for thousands of years. And that's what ultimately we're against. And these people were afraid of losing power after thousands of years, which is why they told me that they wanted to kill 90% of the world's population. And this is very easily proven. Ever since Bush Jr. came into power, they've been spreading biological weapons, SARS, Ebola, bird flu, you AIDS. Name it. Yeah, and we can prove in a court of law that these were created in laboratories. They're not natural. The other thing we can prove in a court of law is that they were paying farmers money to stop growing food and to grow so-called bioethanol because they were trying to starve people to death. And we can prove in a court of law that they've been trying countless times to start a global nuclear war. Fortunately, most of the people in the U.S. military, in the agencies, and the people, you know, the servants with guns, are actually good people. And they were being manipulated. And they made a fatal mistake, for example, by sending them into Iraq saying they're going after weapons of mass destruction. And when they found out they'd been lied to and it was just a huge oil robbery, they started waking up. And now the good guys, the white hats in the military and the agencies around the world are getting rid of these murderous scum. And we're winning and they're losing. And we're going to go right to Zug, Switzerland, their headquarters. We're going to go to Milan. We're going to get all of them. They're not going to escape this time.
Let me jump in, Ben.
Sure.
And say that one of the things that I really enjoyed about this visit to Japan has been how we've been discussing the juxtaposition of cyber currency, a post-Google internet, and sustainable development using open-source everything engineering. You have very kindly introduced me to some people who have the direct ear of Xi Jinping, among others, and I'm very excited by that. Let me also say that I absolutely believe you are right when you say that 90% of the people in the military are good people. In fact, I was recently offered a significant sum of money to help put veterans into every single political race in America in 2018, and I plan to do that. Veterans understand that war is for bankers, war is waste, and we should not be going to war in America. We need to close all 1,000 of our bases overseas and bring our troops home.
And the thing that got me started in all this is I found out, you know, the Japanese have earned $7 trillion by exporting cars and TVs, etc., to the rest of the world since World War II. And I started this by trying to convince the Japanese to spend this money to end poverty and stop environmental destruction. And they told me they could not because they were a colony, and that's what got me in the fight. And now we're ready, we're on the verge where we should have trillions of dollars available to start a massive campaign to end poverty and stop environmental destruction and make this planet into the paradise it's supposed to be. And we're going to make sure that everybody gets to participate. It's not going to be just a top-down thing. It's going to be bottom-up, top down, both. It's going to be transparent. It's going to be for the good of the planet. We're going to find out what people want, and we're going to make it happen.
Let me say, Ben, that what really attracted me by the chance to meet with you was the vision that you've had for many years, not only about a debt jubilee, which I completely support, but about a planning agency or a planning network for the world.
Yeah.
And you seem to recognize that my open source agency, which I've been trying to get Donald Trump to build, I'm being kept away from Donald Trump by Jim Kelly, among others. So if Donald Trump does not want to listen to me or is not being allowed to talk to me, I'm going to build it for the Chinese, the Iranians, and the Russians. America, I would like to build the open source agency for you, but if I can't build it for you, I will build it for Xi Jinping and Putin and others. So I think our two visions intersect perfectly.
Yeah.
And what it boils down to is connecting every person on the planet to all information in all languages all the time with an encrypted base that cannot be censored or manipulated.
Yeah, I think the cryptocurrencies are a step in that direction, but they need to be backed by things that exist in the real world.
Gold.
And the other thing is that, you know, the idea of a planning agency just didn't come out of the blue. I spent my entire career studying the different systems around the world, and the best model I could find is the Singapore model. They turned that country from the poorest of the poor anywhere on Earth. You couldn't find anywhere poorer than Singapore after World War II, to the third richest on Earth. They're earning like an average of $90,000 each now. And unlike the two other richer countries, Qatar, which is basically 300 people in a gasoline stand, I'm sorry, they got rich through oil, and Luxembourg, who got their money through all these billionaires
percentages
evading taxes, these people earned it through hard work. And so we want to have a system like that improved to plan the future for the West. We want a Western version of the Chinese One Belt, One Road that'll be at least as good, if not better. We want to turn the deserts green. We want to restore natural ecosystems. We want to replenish the oceans with fish. We want to explore the universe. We want to free humanity.
I completely agree with that. What I really want to emphasize is your vision in combining nano gold, which is the cryptocurrency backed up by gold from Indonesia, Bougainville, and other places, with the support of the Chinese government and the Japanese authorities, with my vision of a world brain, post-Google internet, and sustainable development with open source everything engineering. So we're actually looking at funding an entire series of islands to include the world's first 21st century university that will set the standard for free education and free internet for everybody.
And I want to be able to hire all the world's, especially the Western, the military forces. We're going to give them a pay raise, and we're going to give them new work that's actually going to be protecting the planet. They're going to be protecting endangered species. They're going to be helping poor people, you know, be safe from bandits. You know, they're going to be the good guys. We're not going to leave these people. You know, I was told early on in this game by a senior Pentagon guy is that when the Soviet Union collapsed, a senior general found himself, you know, being a taxi driver in London. We're going to let that happen to the hard-working men of the U.S. and other world forces. We're going to give them a better situation than before. Plus, they get to be the good guys.
Let me emphasize that one of the things that really destroyed our limited success in Iraq was the idiocy, the deliberate idiocy of Dick Cheney in ordering Paul Bremer to dismantle the Iraqi military. That was the single greatest mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. That's what he wanted. He wanted chaos.
Yeah. The first Gulf War was a big failure as far as the military contractors were concerned, because the U.S. military...
We went too fast.
Yeah. The U.S. military said, we're not going to do another Vietnam. We're going to do it right. We're going there. We're going to win, and we're going to get out. And they did that. And they were left with all these unsold weapons. So this time they say, we want a war that's going to last forever so we can keep selling, you know, Humvees for $1 million each and keep the money, you know, the cash thing going. So the military contractors and the families that own these companies, they're either going to start space exploration or we're going to hunt you down and we're going to kill you all.
All right. Well, let me say that I'm dear friends with Del Spurlock, who was Ronald Reagan's Deputy Secretary of Labor. And Del and I have basically brought the Reagan Joint Defense and Labor Plan from the Reagan era up to date. Every single person in the U.S. government, including every single contractor in the U.S. government, who is ultimately put out of a job by Donald Trump's downsizing or my downsizing or whoever it is that downsizes the U.S. government, they will all get 1 year's salary and 1 year's free training. And I absolutely guarantee no one will take a pay cut. They will simply stop working for the U.S. government.
Anyway, I think we're going to conclude this, but all I can say is that the good guys are winning. One more push and we're going to finish these people off. And then humanity can be finally free from a long and terrible nightmare caused by this ancient and very evil family of human sheep herders. We're removing them from power. And my warning to all of you, it's over. Surrender, join the good guys, or we're coming to get you. Well, and I just say, humanity is being freed. Enjoy a beautiful future.
If I can have a final note.
Sure.
I had a wonderful lunch with Princess Nakamura, and she
Nakamura,
thank you. And she said, and I believe her, that here in Japan, Donald Trump is being given credit for the unification of Korea. Everyone understands that he made that happen. God bless Donald Trump from here in Japan.
So this is a sculpture of the white dragon.
Yeah.
The story is the goddess Benten found this horrible little sea creature that was terrifying people.
Uh-huh.
And turned it into a benevolent entity that protected the weak and the poor. And I think this is a perfect symbol for what we want to do with the military-industrial complex.
This is the White Dragon, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a pleasure to have been initiated into the White Dragon group as part of my visit here. I absolutely leave here not only happier, but empowered.
Yeah. The White Dragon fights to protect the life force, and it can only be used for the greater good.